world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I was just thinking as I was walking down, I'm worn out, a little bit worn out. I was thinking as I was coming down the steps into my multi-million dollar studio here. Is it possible for a woman to be a stud? Is that possible? Because if it's possible for a woman to be a stud, I want you to know I married one. And she's just a little frail, little 110-pound little bundle of love and I'm just telling you, man. She couldn't even hardly get out of bed this morning because when Michelle does something, she is all in. As you can probably imagine with the event we had this weekend, we had a lot of people in and out of our homes. She was doing a lot of administrative stuff behind the scenes and just a lot going on. And I had to go and shake her real hard this morning, make sure she wasn't dead. And those of you who know her and those of you around this weekend, you get it, man. You get it. And I just want to publicly say that, oh, my goodness. Couldn't do what we do without her. And
she's a warrior angel.
She's a warrior angel. Thanks, Debbie. She is a warrior angel. And you know what? She just has that gift of hospitality, and she does not rest until everybody is comfortable. And she gets up in the morning, and she worries about whether you had a cup of coffee. Do they have? Are there grapes out there, honey? Just every aspect of it. And I just want to honor my wife for the great effort that she's done. We had a fabulous weekend, man. Fabulous weekend. And Tom Dunn's going to join us here. We're talk a little bit about some of that stuff went on. Before I get too far, there's a couple things I want to make sure that I do. First of all, folks, we need all of us. In fact, I'm going to ask somebody's going to step to the plate and pray for our friend Ricky Miller. Ricky Miller is, somebody say, who's Ricky Miller? Well, those of you who went to Washington, D.C. with us, Ricky drove one of the vans, and Ricky's a former, you know, he's a Vietnam vet, just a great, great, great guy. And man, he's been in the hospital for, it's almost a month. They transferred him to into Columbus to the real hospital, and he was getting better. And then all of a sudden, man, the other day, wow. Took a real turn for the worse. They didn't know if he was going to make it. Still don't know if he's going to make it. And Ricky means a lot to a lot of people. And I just wonder if somebody in there just would pray. Yes, Russ Dizdar is doing fine. Tom will fill us in on that. Russ is Russ. For those of you who don't know, Friday night Russ had to go to the hospital himself after our event on Friday night. But he's home, resting comfortably. He has a lot more tests to go through. They don't know exactly what happened, and. Thank for all of you. Pray for that. But somebody right now, lift up Ricky Miller. Somebody say, Coach, I'll do that. Oh, wait.
Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Good morning, team. I'll lead us in prayer for Ricky. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. And we're here this morning to lift up Ricky, who is struggling with health issues. Please let the doctors give him a working diagnosis and bring healing to his body.
Save his life, God.
We know that your will is for us to be healthy and strong so that we can do your work. And please allow him the chance to continue the work you have begun in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Healing is the children's bread. So Ricky, eat this morning. Got a lot. Listen, I got a lot of stuff to share with you, but I want to get Tom Dunn in here. Tom texted me this morning, and I was going to call Tom and ask him to come in, but I'm sure he's worn out. Here's what happened on Friday night at our event. Hang on, time out. Hey, Jared, tell everybody who's listening right now how the live streaming, it's not up, it's not, video on demand is not up yet, Jared, but please just take a minute and explain to everybody how that works. Could you do that?
Test, test. All right.
I hear Jared. Give your thumbs up if you hear Jared. Will you? Somebody give a thumbs up if you hear him. Okay, good. We got you, Jared. Awesome.
So let me put you up there, Coach. Yeah, so the process is going to be, we'll send out an email to everybody who bought or is still buying a ticket. The live stream post-produced videos are not done. We need to cut them up into the right portions, and then we're going to upload them onto CoachDaveLive.video. And you will see them show up there right kind of in the front, with at the front of the videos. But we'll also put a link on the top menu. You'll be able to see it, you know, expelling the darkness. And we'll put some links and notifications on CoachDaveLive.com. So we should have everything up today. And we'll shoot an email to you if you bought a ticket. And then go to CoachDaveLive.com. And right on the homepage, there will be a graphic that'll get you to the right spot. Okay.
So they don't need a code or anything like that, Jared. If they paid, their email will get them in. Is that basically what we're telling them?
They'll need to log in to access it on the website, on the video site. Yep.
But there's no code or anything like that. They just logged in. They had to log in to sign up. They just log in and do that. And folks, if you have any trouble with it, just shoot me an email and I'll get it to Jared and we'll get you up and running. But folks, it's not available yet, okay? Because I've got some emails this morning. Said, Coach, it won't work for me. Well, it can't work for you because we haven't post-produced it and put it up there. But it'll be there for 30 days, and you'll have access to it, okay? So any questions, shoot them my way, and we'll shoot them wherever. I want to get Tom Dunn in here real quickly because Tom has to go. Anyway, has another appointment. Folks, for those of you who don't know, we had a fabulous event. We had about 170 people in the room. They came from 23 different states. It was remarkable. Friday night, Russ Dizdar did his presentation and then got it. They had to take him to the hospital, got sick. We didn't see Russ the rest of the time. And I've always, Russ brought his team with him, whatever that means. And I've always told everybody who gets a hold of me and says, I need to get a hold of Russ. I always connect him to Tom Dunn. Because I said, Tom Dunn is Russ. They are this. Tom Dunn is Russ. Well, we found out Saturday, all day Saturday, Tom Dunn is Russ. Because Tom had to step to the plate and fill in and do all the teaching and everything. They did a remarkable job. And, you know, the thing that we have to understand, the instant in season and out of season, I'm sure Tom was ready to make a presentation, but probably not to the degree that he had to make that presentation. 6 hours, he and his team, all day long, actually longer than that, into Saturday evening. Again, a gathering of about 175 people, 23 different states. And Tom, I just got to say this. I'll say it. I don't know if there are any pastors there. I don't know if there were any pastors there. Do you understand, folks? Do you understand the condition we find ourselves in? That spiritual warfare is breaking out everywhere, and Tom and Russ and their team are trying to train people in spiritual warfare, how to combat these things. And there aren't any pastors there. I don't even know what to say. Tom, come on in, man. You got some time.
Friday night, Russ said, I cannot wait on any more pastors. There's work to be done. What an amazing weekend. And I prayed with Russ on Friday night before we started the presentations. He was doing fine. And I talked to him yesterday. He said pretty strongly he doesn't think this was a spiritual attack. He thinks it was physical. And he's had a lot of tests to show what he didn't have or what wasn't going on. And one of the things we think is he just didn't have anything to eat that day, and that had an effect on him. But he's doing good now, and he's a little bit frustrated because he wanted to be there all day Saturday. He had a lot of plans, and I know he's trying to make that right. And there's for those who are going to get the live stream, I'm telling you, it's worth it, and you are going to be equipped. And you said, you know, Russ, Coach, you keep saying that. Tom Dunn is Russ Dizdar. Tom is Russ Dizdar. I appreciate that. I trained under him for a lot of years, and I can do a lot of things he does. He has a lot more experience than I do. But the people that were there Saturday got to see the other people Amen. Who have trained under Russ and give their story about how they got into it. I felt like that was important because Amen. They could see anybody can do this. Anybody from any walk of life, no matter where you are, when God calls you, whether you're a fisherman or whether you're a lawyer or whether you're a garbage man, you got to go. You got to go. So amazing weekend. And as I sent you the text this morning, Coach, I think that here in a couple weeks, we're going to start seeing testimonies of people saying, hey, I'm implementing this training and I've run into somebody that needs what I learned there in this situation or that situation. And I would just say, when that begins to happen, start telling people because others need encouragement. Everybody's on a different level of courage, okay? And you have the training, but you don't have the experience. The only way to get the experience is to step out and do it the first time, Amen. Okay? You might fail. It might not go to the greatest, but you're going to learn from that, and then you're going to do better next time.
Hey, Tom, okay? You said you put something up on the screen that I thought was really, really important. And if you could go through that again from your memory. By the way, Tom, so that you don't feel bad, I spoke to Russ yesterday. He said, Russ, we missed you. Tom Dunn is like a painter that you bring into your house and uses a roller. And he gets every bit of it. I said, Russ, it's not the same, though. You're a Rembrandt. You use a little brush, you know?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we missed Russ, but you, brother, you did an awesome, job of painting yourself, yeah. Right?
And that's the thing. People came from all over. Coach, I was blown away. I thought we would get mostly local people just because of all the travel restrictions and all that. People from California, people from Arizona, people from Colorado, Nevada, everywhere they came in for the conference. Why? Because Russ is a one-of-a-kind teacher. There's nobody else that can do what he does.
Amen.
I can't do it. If I tried, I wouldn't want to. I don't want to be Russ. Russ is Russ. We all have our own abilities and gifts God has given us. Russ is a one-of-a-kind teacher. That's why so many people came from far and wide to see him and hear him teach. They want what he has.
Amen.
And
Tom, you guys did great. You and your team did great. Now, Tom, you threw up on the screen something that just kind of, I thought, Lord, if I just walk away with this, if I ever got something. And you said, well, I think it was you. You said, you don't need salt. You don't need oil. You don't need to yell. You don't need to call a priest. That Tom, the deliverance is a very simple process.
No, you're right. All you need to do is be saved. And when you are saved, you are given the authority over demonic presence. Okay. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, snakes and scorpions. Okay. That's what he was talking about. The church is not telling the people, the church leaders are not telling the people because they don't know that they have this authority. And they think because of Hollywood, the only Catholic priest can do this. Okay. So that's not true. Anybody who's a Christian, no matter what you do, you can cast out the demonic. You use the authority, you command it out. Now there are, you know, we taught how to do it and we taught how to deal with it and we taught how to be persistent. And I recommend, you know, going to check that out. And also listening to Russ's thousands of hours of free training at shatterthedarkness.net. It's all there. It's all there. But
Tom, one of the things that's really hindered many of us, I believe, in this battle is the TV preachers that we've watched, right? Come out with him and blowing on people and people falling down. And so we watch that and say, God, how do I can't do it. Tom, that ain't even what it's about, is it,
bro? No, it's not. And I love what Russ said. He said, we don't need peacocks and we don't need ostriches. Okay. we just need human beings. And you know, there are people on TV, they do it the right way, but it's more, you know, it's more of a production. It doesn't need to be that way. Okay. It's not about, you know, obviously those things are produced for television and they're, you know, they're dramatized and all that stuff. But all you need to do is be saved. You don't, like you said, Coach, you don't need to raise your voice. Sometimes it gets exciting and you might raise your voice. That's okay. But you just simply command the demonic out what to do. They may not want to come out. That's okay. You just be persistent. They have to. They don't have a choice when you have the authority of Christ. And you're persistent, and eventually it's going to come out. Shouldn't take in a normal case more than 30 minutes of prayer. So
folks, listen, I'm going to open up the microphone here. Tom's going to be with us for about 10 minutes. If you have a comment about this weekend or a question for Tom about this weekend, raise your hand and we'll get you in here and get you rolling. So
Tom, let me say one more thing. Yeah. I felt what was lacking this weekend, and I talked to Russ about this, was the investigation part.
Yeah.
And that's something that we want to talk about down the road, but we want to catch these guys. And to do that, we got to know how to do investigation, and we got to know how to vet out the truth. So that, there's more to be done on that, but I felt if anything was lacking, it was that.
Yeah, well, hey, can't give everybody the whole bowl of soup in one serving, right? So it was a great start. We got some folks want to jump in here. WP, I got to figure out what your name is. Come on in, brother. Then Debbie, then Clay, then Myra.
My name's Jerry, just so that you're aware.
All right, Jerry.
And I wanted to say, on Saturday when Russ Dizdar left, the Holy Spirit put on my heart that he allowed Russ to get sick so that his team could shine, because there was somebody in the conference that needed to see that for their progression and what you're doing with Tom and Russ and everyone else. So yes. I just wanted to say that, and I wanted to say the conference was amazing.
It was good. Tom, hey,
We all felt that, and we knew that it was covered in prayer, you know, and that everything was going to be okay. And we knew that this was happening for a reason. So I agree with you.
Yep. And it showed the simplicity that a guy like Tom Dunn can do it. Right. Mm-hmm. And like the other people, Sherry, they can do it too. Right. All those can. It was a God thing for sure. Debbie, come on in. Then Clay, then Myra.
Well, Tom, I just wanted to ask a question because you know, the little story about my friend in his church, but the demon didn't manifest until he left my presence. And then he emailed me and I could tell what was going on. So what do you do when that person leaves your presence? They're not in front of you anymore. Mm. And even though I know now that it is that homosexual spirit that's there.
Okay, so Debbie's making a point. Folks, let's say you're dealing with somebody in your family. And face to face, you're talking to them back. You know something's going on. They won't know it. And then they leave and they get in the car and they drive down the road. Then they call you back and then they attack you.
We hear this all the time where, you know, the demon doesn't want to be caught. The demon doesn't want to be cast out. So they're going to be very slippery. They can run circles around us and they know how to evade us. So we just have to be persistent and Lord, open up another door for, you know, an encounter, you know, to deal with this.
So Tom, how do I take authority? How do we take authority on I hate to use the word demon, but you know, a spiritual oppression from afar.
Jesus did it in the Bible. We just do it just the way that he did it. And we pray and we trust and we say, Lord, you know where this person is in Jesus' name. You know, by your authority, Lord, we ask that you would cast out this demon and set this man free. Okay.
Yep.
So that's how we do it.
All right. Awesome. Clay, come on in.
Good morning. That was a great weekend, Tom. You did a great job. For the people that are new to this, if someone contacts them seeking help, what would you recommend is some sort of vetting process to make sure that they step into a place where they're being set up for some kind of physical attack as well?
Well, that's difficult to know, and we may not know till the moment, but we should always have somebody there with us. Don't go anywhere where you don't feel safe, okay? Meet them in a neutral location, and have somebody there with you to protect you, and you may not know, you know. Usually when people are seeking help, they really want help, but there's a possibility of a setup, and we got to be careful of that, you know. Bathe it in prayer. God knows what's going on. And if you get a check, check it. And if you don't feel safe, don't do it. Okay.
Amen. Amen. Myra. And just before Myra comes in, I want to tip my cap to Mark Trump, who Mark is a servant, boys and girls. Mark Trump is a servant. And Mark drove from Virginia to Maryland to pick up Myra and bring her out here. And then drove back home, took her back to Maryland. I think it's Maryland. dropped her off, and then went home. And so Mark went above and beyond the call of duty. And Myra, it's great to have you. Come on in, sweetheart.
Good morning, saints. Yes, I'm so grateful to the Lord. He provided the brother in the Lord, Mark, and he was a tremendous help. And I was baptized in the Spirit, and I accepted the Holy Spirit. Michelle and Coach helped me out, and I learned from Tom, and it was just a beautiful weekend. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Myra, it's great to have you. We laid hands on Myra yesterday and baptized her in the Holy Spirit. And we also had about three or four ordinations yesterday. So praise the Lord on that one. Gary Dunlap wants to come in. Come on in here, Gary, real quickly.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Hey, question for Tom. You talked about the investigation part was a bit lacking, if there's anything that could have been done over again. Do you have either on your website or on Russ's some further information as far as how to do the investigation properly?
I wouldn't know where to point you directly to find that right now. Russ has thousands of hours of stuff. You know, this is something that I can't – I know we talked about it sporadically, but I don't know about talking about it for a whole show. But it's something that we're going to cover, and it's something that's important. Russ and I, you know, he gave me a confirmation on things that he said yesterday. And I said, Russ, this is what I've been feeling in my prayers in the last month, that we have to train people to investigate, because there's a lot of false information out there.
Amen.
And if we – if we allow this to take us down a rabbit hole, it wastes our time. We need to be able to vet out truth and make sure that, you know, that we're going the right direction. Things are said about Coach. Things are said about me that aren't true. So just because there's a document or something written, it doesn't make it true. We need witnesses and that sort of thing. So we got to do a better job. But we need to catch these guys, because the police are overwhelmed. They don't have enough personnel to do it.
Amen. So hang on, Reggie. I'll get you in a second. Tom, real quickly, I know you got to run here. Give me a two-minute version, Tom. One of the most common questions I get, how do you clear your house?
You go in. Okay, this is how I would clear my house. Real quick. Go in there. If somebody sends something to you, or if somebody comes in and brings something, I'm going to begin to put on worship music. I'm going to begin to praise Jesus in that house. Okay. I'm going to begin to read the Bible in that house. Okay. Starting with Psalm 27, and then just going through it, whatever you're led, read spiritual warfare verses. There's a ton of them. Okay. And just proclaim, hey, this house belongs to me. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And then we walk the perimeter. We go in every room, and then we pray, Jesus, if there's anything in here sent, if there's a door open, we ask you would shut it, cast out the demonic in Jesus' name. And we proclaim your word. We proclaim your truth, and we use your authority. This is your house. This is your sanctuary. I want people to drive by here and feel you. I want people to come to this house and get saved. I want this house belongs to you. You make those proclamations, and the enemy can't stay.
Amen. Okay?
And then you use the authority, and then you kick him out.
It's like running a dog out of your house or a cat out of your house.
Yeah.
It's no
worship music, praise music is essential.
Amen. One more, Reggie, real quick, and then we got to let Tom go. Come on in, Reg.
Thank you, Coach. It was a great weekend. You did awesome, Tom. Thank you for your time. I didn't get a chance to talk to you further, but I was talking to Colleen, and I would like for you, because you got listeners out there, can you kind of delve in a little bit, because I was approached a couple of times when people found out that I had done a few things. And one of the questions, well, it happened several times, and Russ and I talked about it. How do you protect your family? Because when you're dealing with such darkness, for 30 years, we've been attacked, but we've always been okay, because my strongest weapon is the covering of the Lord. But that fear is keeping a lot of people from engaging. And even with the sex trafficking, you know, people are saying, I don't want to go to the march. I'm afraid to stand up again. So if you could maybe have a personal story or share and help them.
Let's go, Reg, because Tom's going to run.
Go ahead. I have to protect my family first. And my family is probably who I pray for the most. The reason is, if there's a problem with my family, then I can't minister because I've got to attend to that. I cover them in prayer. I cover them in prayer every day. I cover them in prayer a couple times a day, and then I don't worry about it. Okay. I put it in God's hands. My daughter does missionary work in hostile environment. I used to have anxiety about that. I give it to the Lord. I have a couple kids that are prodigals. I give them to the Lord. Okay. The spiritual part is easy. Lord, protect my kids. Lord, strike down any attack. Lord, keep them safe. Okay. Dealing with the flesh is another thing, but yeah, cover them in prayer and, you know, make sure you're doing what you need to do as a spouse, as a husband or a wife, or as a father. Because
close all the doors, right? Yeah. Tom? Shut all the doors.
Yes. And that's a real quick answer, but we could say more on that. But yeah,
Tom, I know you got to go, man. I appreciate it. We'll have you later on through the black dot. Is it net, Tom?
.com.
Through the black .com is Tom's website. Russ is shatterthedarkness.net. And folks, we'll have them back. And as Tom said, we're going to hear some real testimonies from this weekend. Bless you, Tom. Thanks for spending some time with us.
God bless everybody.
All right, cool. Let me open it up. I got a lot of stuff. Let me open it up to anybody who's got something maybe they want to share. And then I got some things I just got to show you. So I'll wait here a minute, see if anybody pops in. Come on in, Mark.
I was just going to say the big takeaway for me that I think a lot of people who've been out here serving, been a part of this community, is everything's not a demon. I actually witnessed someone trying to get out demon to someone at the show when there just wasn't. The person had dedicated their life to Christ. They knew Christ. They felt the calling. They were in the Bible. And Tom gave us that warning. Yes. Everything's not a demon. And then lo and behold, later in the day, we actually had a physical manifestation of some sort. And it turned out it wasn't a demon at all. It could have been an allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So part of just observing these scenes is to take in the whole environment. Everything's not a demon. And a lot of the speakers came out there and spoke about that.
Amen. A lot of it, as we've been saying, Mark, a lot of it's just your carnal nature, just your flesh, right? So
sensationalism. And another big need is the rehab. Mm. And I became involved with one of Sherry's cases, and I've worked other cases that they've worked with. But what do you do whenever you do the fun, sensational deliverance stuff? See, it's months of rehab for these people. Yes. Where are the workers? The lady who said, a lot of times I become the mother and grandmother. That lady needs help on Tom's team. I mean, we need more people to accept these victims and stand alongside them and disciple them. Where's the discipleship?
Amen.
So consider that. If you don't want to get out in the front line and do the sensational stuff, consider learning how to nurture these people after Tom finds them.
Mark, that's a great point. I want to, again, tip my cap to Stephanie because I know Stephanie is really kind of buddied up, and she and Holly have become bosom buddies, whatever you would say. And there's really something to that, brother, with this, that we have to get invested in the lives of these people who have struggled and have come out of it. Amen. We can't just go around, cast out devils and let it go. By the way, I learned this. Get ready, Jeff, I'll bring you in, then Jim. I learned this. A Christian cannot be demon possessed, but they can be demon oppressed and influenced, okay? Those are not the same things, right? That's what temptation and all that's about. Jeff now come in. Jeff came all the way from Fallon, Nevada. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I want to express the love of everyone, Mike Blake, Betty, Myra, all these folks together. And it's great to see their smiles and hugs and the love.
No masks, Jeff. Yeah. Wasn't a mask in the room. Thanks for coming, Jeff. Jim, come on in. Then Jim Caribou, come in, who was there. Then James Bruno, come on in. Then Roger, go ahead. One of you, no, Jim?
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Jim Caribou come in.
I did, but go ahead, Betty.
Hey, I streamed. By the end of the day on Saturday, I told a friend I was saturated, tired. I was wore out, you know, from watching it. Yesterday, I took a 3.5-hour nap.
I, pretty, I can use one of those, Jim. Michelle can use one of those too. Amen. I appreciate your faithfulness up there, brother. Jim Caribou, come on in, Jim. Jim came to the event from Louisville. Just give us a second. I had him in here, then I kicked him out. So we'll give him a chance to go ahead, Jim.
There you go. It was great. And there are no coincidences. Yesterday, we have the Derby coming up this weekend in Louisville. And there is a lot of sex trafficking that occurs that week. I happened to be yesterday with one of the police officers that oversees that area of trying to basically track, follow any of this trafficking that occurs, and was able to talk about the Black Awakening with him. Got him very engaged. He's going to communicate with Tom and Russ probably this week.
Amen.
Just how the Lord lines things up, facilitates, you know, somebody in a moment that I bought his book, and I happened to say, hey guys, you need to learn, you know, listen, let me be engaged any way I can.
Amen.
Yeah.
We got to spread the word, don't we, brother? So the idea is to come away from that thing a lot smarter than what we were, and I think there's a lot of people that have. Thanks for coming, Jim. Roger, come on in, then Larry, then Joe Allen. Go ahead.
Dave, I was not able to be there the whole weekend, but a question I had, did it come up, the idea of how to distinguish between a demonic possession or demonic activity in a person and the idea of a consequence? You touched on it a few minutes ago. Not everything is demon possession.
I would say this, Roger. First of all, anybody that's dealing with it has opened a window. We don't know what that window is. It could be anger. It could be pornography. It could be any number of things. So if a Christian is being demonically oppressed, it's because they've opened the window to it. And we have to figure out what that is, what that window is, and close that window. As far as, you know, it's just through trial and error and just talking to them, right? And watching their eyes and seeing the reaction that they give to you, you'll be able to figure out whether or not they are being oppressed or not possessed, but oppressed by it. So listen, first of all, they have to want to be delivered. They have to want to be delivered. And if they don't want to be, if they want to hang on to that thing, Roger, it's tough. But, you know, go ahead.
Can demonic possession or oppression, it can be the influencing to make a bad decision.
It can
be subtle. It can be subtle.
It is subtle. It is subtle. Yes. And so a Christian may be having this oppressive thoughts and not even understand why, you know?
We think maybe of the person who has the, you know, he's out murdering 20 people. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, could it be the businessman who wears a suit and tie mm-hmm. is just starting to make bad decisions because
right.
of the oppression that's going yeah. on? It's not the glaring exorcist stuff.
No.
It can be much more subtle.
That's right. One thing leads to another, right? Leads to another. You know, you get in a situation, you get mad at somebody at work, and that anger gets on, and then you allow that spirit to get in you, and then you go home, you take it home to your wife, and then, we have to recognize open doors and shut them, Roger. I mean, it's just pretty much as simple as that. How they're getting in, we have the authority to say, get out of here, and then close the door. But if we don't understand that's what we're dealing with, we're not going to do that, right? So that's my 10-cent response to that. Come on in, Larry, and then Joseph.
Hey, guys. Two things to report. Number one, I was in an event with 374 people, and two of them had masks on. We were crowded into a big room.
Good.
It was the Horry County Republican Party Convention. I had a friend of mine was still in the Republican Party, and he asked me to help him and, you know, organizing things. So to hopefully get him elected to a position where he could maybe have an influence on what was happening. And he didn't make the election. He came in second. But the thing is that there are a whole bunch of people in that room that have a general right idea of what to do, but they're okay. The second thing is I had to make a big decision to go to that convention because my wife is, you know, Gail's in the hospital dying. And I had to make a choice, stay with Gail in case she went while out during the convention, or go to the convention and do what I could to try to help improve the situation on the ground for my grandkids and great grandkids. Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you right now, people, unless we step up, just like this spiritual warfare, unless we step up, recognize and understand the authority we have and stuff to take care of that, if we don't take care of our country, our grandchildren have no chance to live in a free society.
That's right, Larry. That's right. And we know the burden that you're bearing there with Gail, and you know that she would want to rescue your grandchildren. You know that, Larry. So be about your father's business, brother. We're with you, Larry. We stand with you. Joe Allen, I want to apologize to Joe Allen, because Joe Allen and his wife Carol came up and dumb me. I didn't let him stay at Sky High. And if there's anybody who should have been staying at Sky High, it was Joe Allen. So I've apologized to him about 30 times, but I just want to say it publicly that I appreciate everything Joe's done and Carol. And it was wonderful to have him here. And thanks for coming, Joe.
Yeah. Well, Coach, you're a blessing to all of us. And I want to start off with Larry. You're in my heart, sir.
Yes, sir.
But everybody took away a lot of things about this conference. And mine is how the inner workings, all of us, like we pulled security, Bobby Lee pulled security, and bunch of us kept an eye on other people.
Mountain Man helped there.
Yep. There's a lot of people in this audience, over 150 something people, and everybody had their emotions out there. And it went so well with Tom Dunn and Rush's team. Everything went excellent, just like a well-oiled machine.
And the Fellowship of the Saints, right, brother? The Fellowship. Yeah, I'm telling you, we could have got the people in the room and said, listen, no teaching, just fellowship, and they would still be there.
Yeah.
They would still be there, right?
Excellent.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for all you do, Joe. God bless you, man. Betty, come on in. It was good to see Betty there. Came here.
Good morning, everybody. I want to say what amazing and a wonderful and overwhelming event this was this last weekend. I loved meeting everybody. I do have a question. I was looking up that Bible verse. I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. They had Mark 10, and I was reading through Mark 10, and Mark 10, and I thought, God, I must be blind or something. I can't find. It's in Luke 10.
Ah, Luke 10.
Yeah, so I thought I'd let people know that it's in Luke 10 if they need that Bible verse.
So Betty.
10:19,
I give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions. Now, folks, what does that mean? Well, I mean, isn't that kind of an odd imagery that the Lord would use? Or is there really something to that? are there really serpents and scorpions in the spiritual realm? Evidently, there must be, huh? And because we can't see into that spiritual realm, we don't understand. He says, behold, I give you power. Can you go back here, Jared? I'm sorry. Behold, I give you power. Mark Trump, there's that power thing again. There's that energy thing again, right? I give you the power. Didn't say ability. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the what? Power of the enemy.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Could that be something affecting your walk? You know, six serpents and scorpions?
Oh, isn't that something? You plugged into the wrong thing. You got short in your power. Huh? You got a short in your electrical cord. Something going on here. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow. That's pretty powerful thought there. Come on in, Jeff Klein. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, I just want to say I would like to have been there this weekend to meet everybody, but some of the people are probably wondering, where's Jeff Klein? He's only 30 minutes away. Yeah. But I got to be in the hospital room at Riverside with my buddy Rick both days. Took his wife over. He's been praying for 13 years that his wife would come back to church with him. She was in church service Sunday morning and received a powerful message. Pastor Bill talked about this dark, evil disease of COVID. It is of the devil. and believing that Ricky's going to rise up. And he used the scripture that people don't, he said, Christians don't even know who God is. And he used the scripture, I am that I am. He said, he used the example. If you're in an emergency situation, somebody's dying there and you're looking around, you're yelling, is there a doctor around? And when that guy steps up and said, I am, that's what you want to hear. He said, they don't understand it. So we're going on. We got to go back over. I cleared it yesterday. Clergy, pastors are allowed in. So I'm asking Reverend Dave, go see my brother Ricky. You're his reverend.
They'll let me in, huh?
Yep, you're allowed in, brother.
All right, brother. I appreciate that. Appreciate y'all, all you're doing. And I know how close Ricky is to your heart, Jeff. So God bless you. Gary, come on back in. Gary had something else you wanted to add.
I just wanted to mention, I stumbled across this last night. Some of you may be familiar with Tom Horn and the Skywatch TV. There's a new facility that's being built somewhere around Branson, Missouri, called Whispering Ponies Ranch, and it's dedicated to helping children rescued from human trafficking to recover. It's not up and running yet, but much of the facility is built, and they are looking for sponsors to help them get up and running. So if anyone has a heart for that, this facility is dedicated specifically for that. They do horse therapy there, and it's geared towards children coming out of human sex trafficking.
Folks, thanks, Gary. Jared, if you could get ready for me, it says Robert Jeffers. I want to show you something. Listen, friends, please hear me. When we were at the event, and the event was great. Again, we want to sensationalize things. And by that, I mean the average person is really not dealing with a sexually SRA, not ritual abuse. Most of us are just dealing with demons, aren't we? Just family demons, just our kids acting like fools and people we work with acting like fools and maybe personal issues we're dealing with. And so we have, because of the movie The Exorcist, and Tom and Russ shared the story that people have gone to their pastor, said, we have this issue going on. And what's the advice of the pastor? Call a Catholic priest or go get some mental health. They have no solution for it, folks. And most of us are not dealing with demonic possession, but rather oppression. Much of it in the church. Christians who don't understand the battle, and because they don't understand the battle, they don't know how to fight back against it. So one of the points I tried to make to everybody again was, a lot of what you're dealing with is just your carnal nature. It's just your carnal nature. You got to get victory over that. Oh, wretched man that I am, right? Get victory over that. And then the oppression, the demonic oppression in your own life and in your own house, and things that are triggering memories and stuff like that in your own house. Those are the serpents and the scorpions that we have to get victory over. Craig Mickle, come in real quick, and I want to show you a video. Go ahead, Craig.
Coach, I just wanted to say, I called you, but we have horses. We do horse therapy with people who have had trauma in their life.
Yes,
so
yes.
There is a resource in Hagerstown, Maryland, too.
Craig, I'll give you a chance to talk about that someday. Craig called me the other day and talked about that type of animal therapy is really, really important. So I don't mean to cut you off, Craig. I'll give you time to explain that thing further for you, if you will. Stephanie, I see your hand up there. Come on in real quickly.
Hey, Coach, I just want to say thank you to everybody that came up to share with people, that drove to come to talk to people for help. I wanted to thank you for pulling everybody and doing what you do. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Russ, man. You could tell how bad he was feeling, and he just brought it Friday night. And for me, myself, it was, I've been waiting years to look him in the face to tell him thank you for what he's done, and I was able to do that. Thank you, Tom, for bringing it, man, and the team, everybody. You taught us so much. You stepped up. And I just wanted to thank everybody. And also, happy birthday, Karen, because I didn't get to say that because it was a crazy weekend. We missed her birthday. They were going to come up Saturday. But everybody was just wonderful. I had a great time. I learned so much. And just, I want to say thank you, Jesus, and everybody.
Bless you. Holly, come on in. Thanks, Steph. Come on in, Holly.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Awesome, dear. Thank you.
That's good. I'm actually driving back to New Jersey today. And I wanted to say thank you to you, Coach, and everyone on our team and everyone at the conference. I had a blast. And thank you so much, Mark and Stephanie and everybody yesterday who helped me through my allergy attack. I am going to go home and get in the bed. But thank you guys for such a wonderful training event. And thank you for being my extended family. You all are my blessings from Heavenly Abba. And I just love you so much. Thank you, Coach. And thank you, Mrs. Coach.
Amen. Thanks, Holly. God bless you, sweetheart. Thanks for coming. Hey, folks, I was really prompted to show this morning because you remember I did a teaching. I hate to use that word. We on the show the other day, we spoke about John 10:10. The thief cometh but to kill and to steal and to destroy. And I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I tried to explain to you that the thief is not the devil. Okay, the thief is not the devil. If you read that scripture, it says that the thief sees the wolf coming, right? The thief is identified as the hireling pastor. Very, very clear. Very, very clear. So I was stunned yesterday. Now, I want you to watch this video and so you'll understand what we're dealing with. And as I said earlier, where were the pastors? Where were the pastors? They had no curiosity. We told them they could come free. No curiosity to come and just sit. Put on a mask, put on a face covering. We won't even know who you are. You didn't want to come and sit and learn from this, get this experience and look around and see how hungry your people are to learn about this stuff. They have nowhere to go. Where were they? Oh my God. So anyway, the Lord pops this up on my face. I can't believe this. You guys have heard of the Christian Broadcasting Network, right? Pat Robertson and all those guys, huh? Well, I saw this, Pastor Robert Jeffress. I thought, what? Robert Jeffress? You mean the one that has the ear of the President of the United States? You mean that guy? Yeah, that guy? Really? So I thought, I think maybe I'll look at this video because certainly Robert Jeffress is going to be on CBN, right? And they're going to talk about aborted baby tissue and folks, I want you to watch this. And I want you to ask yourself this question, which team is Robert Jeffress on? And secondly, which team is CBN on? Why isn't CBN having on, I don't know, Sherry Tenpenny? I don't know. Why wouldn't they have her on? Why wouldn't CBN have on any number of people? Carla Dean Graves, Christian Carla Dean Graves, Christian Sherry Tenpenny. Why would CBN have on this? I don't know what to call him. This is 5 minutes. Two things I want you to do as you listen to this. I want you to watch the eyes of the lady interviewing. And then ask whether or not this is CBN and Robert Jeffress producing propaganda for the other team. Just sit back and watch this. Go ahead, Jared.
Dr. Jeffress, there is so much talk these days about the vaccine. It's now available. What is your advice to Christians about whether to take it?
Well, you know, Lori, for the last 10 months, millions of Christians have been praying for healing, for relief from this pandemic. And I believe God brought about these vaccines. And for Christians not to take the vaccine on some manufactured faith reason, to me, it's like calling 911 when your house is on fire and then refusing to allow the firemen into your home. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. We shouldn't be surprised that God uses science many times to accomplish his purpose. I mean, when you look at the past, great scientists, men like Isaac Newton, Blaise Pascal, Louis Pasteur, these were not only men of science, they were men of strong faith who believed that God created this world and he was an orderly God who created it with order and laws.
We get the point. Turn the idiot off.
No, don't turn it off. No, keep going.
From God.
What do you make of these conspiracy theories that are very prevalent on social media, particularly among Christians, that the vaccine is dangerous, that it could be the, you know, contain the mark of the beast, and that it, there are so many unknowns, and we could find out later that the government has been using the vaccine to spy on us, and it could cause harm down the road. And there are so many Christians who have really gotten a hold of these ideas and perpetrating them, and actually say that it's unchristian to get the vaccine.
Well, it's totally ridiculous. And I would just really warn Christians not to be subject to these conspiracy theories. We're to believe in truth. Satan is a liar. He's the father of all lies, Jesus himself said. And, you know, these conspiracy theories, they really don't work when you carry them to their logical conclusion. You know, one pastor was saying that this vaccine is the mark of the beast. Well, it was developed under Donald Trump, and because of his great leadership, we got it as quickly as we did. So who does that make Donald Trump? I don't think most Christians want to say that he's the Antichrist. It's just really foolish, and I'm afraid that these conspiracy theories are going to deprive people of the gift of life. If we are really pro-life, like we claim to be, that means being pro-life not just for those inside the womb, but for those of us outside the womb. Always choose life.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that issue of life and abortion and whatnot, because we know that some of the vaccines do have some materials that were derived from cell lines from abortions, and there could be an issue there for pro-life people. Where do you come down on that?
Well, I do not know if that's an absolute fact. You are more educated in that than I am. But let's take it to the extreme and say it is true. You know, the fact is, God can use the death of somebody innocent, like an unborn child, to produce good. I mean, just look at what he did with his own son, Jesus Christ. Jesus' murder was horrible, terrible. It was unjust. But God used that unjust murder of his son to bring about our salvation.
So what about you personally? Are you going to get the vaccine?
Well, I already took the vaccine, had it this week, and was grateful that I was able to get the first dose. And I want to be very clear. I mean, everybody needs to consult with their physician and make sure they're not at any special risk, unique risk because of allergies. But barring that, I just encourage everybody to get the vaccine, not only for what it does for you, but what it does for others as well. You know, in Philippians 2, Paul said, don't merely look out for your own interest, look out for the interest of others. And then he uses the story of Jesus, who left his place in heaven to come to meet our needs, not to meet his needs. We ought to be concerned about the well-being, just not of ourselves, but of our family members, our fellow Christians, and the community at large.
Do you have any words for pastors who are making references to vaccines from the pulpit?
I would make sure, if I were a pastor, that I'm speaking truth and I'm not repeating the latest conspiracy theory. I think many Christians are being deceived right now, whether it's about the election or about the vaccine, and we need to be known as children of truth, not of children of falsehood. And I would just encourage pastors to remember your responsibility to speak truth. You know, anytime you speak something or you tweet something, make sure, number one, ask the question, is it true? Do I know this is absolutely true? And secondly, is it helpful? You know, Paul said, only speak words that are good for edification. Do my words build up, or do they tear down another person?
Dr. Robert Jeffress.
It's her, folks. Hey, does he not know? Does he not know? And by the way, why would CBN choose to have him on rather than, now, folks, this, I don't even know what to say about this. Anybody Silver, come on in. It's amazing. Listen, Christian Sherry Tenpenny, Christian Carla Dean Graves is warning, don't do this. And they have this clown on there. Go ahead, Jill.
Clown would be understatement of the year. Gosh, Coach, I'm sitting here and I live in the same county as this man. And I know that one of our other people that's in here has used to be down there on his doorstep protesting. And I can't remember his name. I can't find him. I look for him. I know he's here somewhere in the room because he's moved out of the Dallas area. But he's in here every day.
That'd be me, Joe.
There you are, Glenn. All right.
Southern Baptist Convention at work, boys and girls. Southern Baptist Convention. Go ahead, Joe.
It is true, Coach. Some do like it hot.
Yes. Guaranteed.
It's unbelievable. Is it? I mean, folks, this is unbelievable. I'm trying to get somebody in. Tim and Naomi, come on in. This stunned me. Go ahead, Tim. Go ahead, Naomi.
I want to say amen to you. Why is not Sherry Tenpenny and some of them in there? But I will tell you, his church, my ancestors that were highly involved in Masonry were members of his church. That ought to tell you something. But you know what? This is the same thing that I get. This is the same thing that I get with my healing journey. And I get it from Christians, quote unquote Christians. I get the same garbage being Amen. Told that I am a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. And here's the pastor. Scroll down a little bit more. I want to show you something else. And man, that lit up the phones there. Hang on here a second. I got to show you another one. Go on down more, Jared, because Franklin Graham weighs in for us here, of course. We got to see what Frank has to say. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. One more, I think, Jared. Oh, there we go. What's Frank have to say? I know. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, Jared. No, he's got a statement for us here, I think, at the bottom. Oh, my goodness. There it is. No, that's not. Keep going. Oh, heck with it. Trust me. Okay, Randy, come on in. Trust me.
Coach, I don't want to go down a rabbit trail, but I'll just be quick. I have information, good information, that a lot of these foundations, these Christian groups, foundations, they are taking Soros money. And I have it all. I could show you. They're taking this through these foundations, and it's compromising the church. That is the whole intention of this Soros-funded project. It's right. In the white churches, the black churches. It doesn't matter. They're all taking it. It's free money. And they're owned by this. And I'm telling you, if you're a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. And this is what we're seeing exactly.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to get somebody who hadn't been in here yet. Let's double back to Jeff now. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't Jeffrey said a same-sex marriage is now law? Get over it.
Yes, it is. It is. And he's on Fox News all the time, isn't he? He's on Fox News straightening this all out. Betty, come on back in. I'm trying to find this Franklin Graham statement. Keep scrolling down, Jared. Go ahead. Hang on, Betty, you're muted. No. Betty, you're still muted. Can't hear you, Betty. Can't hear you, Betty. There.
I accidentally hit the raise hand. I apologize.
Okay. That's fine. Reggie, come on in.
Hey, I don't know if anybody knows who Fiona Barnett is, but she's the survivor of a high. She was trafficked as a child. She was born and raised in the Brotherhood. She calls out, and she's been character assassinated. She explains that one of the rituals that she was at that Billy Graham presided over, and she was very clear about it. After that, they attacked her. So she's calling out.
Amen. Well, what's Franklin Graham? I was on another sheet or something. Because Franklin Graham says this. Anytime Franklin Graham said, anytime there's a vaccine or something that could help protect you, he was an advocate for it. He took it. I think if there were vaccines available in the time of Christ, Jesus would have made reference to them and used them. Now, in the statement that Graham made, he did say Jesus probably wouldn't have taken one because he was God, but he would have told other people to do it. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you said that Satan is subtle, often subtle. Well, he's almost every time subtle. Just look what he did to Eve. But the thing is also, you know, Jeff, you're absolutely right. If you're a friend of the world, you are the enemy of God. But it's even stronger than that. If you just want to be a friend of the world, you are the enemy of God.
Okay, so folks, listen. John 10:10. The thief cometh but to kill and destroy, to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. And if you cannot see that there are those, this religious political conflict, right? Why would Fox News continue to have Robert Jeffress on? God bless Sherry Tenpenny. God bless Carla Dean Graves. God bless Mike Lindell. God bless, hey, God bless them all. God bless General Flynn. And here we have Robert Jeffress on the Christian Broadcasting Network calling these fine brothers in Christ conspiracy theorists. Lord, folks, we are in an upside down world. Got to run, daggone it. We'll get after this again tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you then.